Hey there, I am so glad that you're here just hanging out with me today. Wherever you are, whether you're on a walk, you're in the car, or maybe you're on a break, wherever it is, I am so grateful that you're here. My name is Jessica Hotto and I'm your host, and we're in season two talking about overcoming. And today I have Latasha Ferguson and we're talking about body insecurity. I love her story. And if you've been around here for any length of time, you know that I am passionate about health in every aspect, whether it's food, fitness, and faith. And I have been in the fitness industry for 12 years, and it's crazy how much I've had to change my perspective around food, what food means to me, but also what does it mean about my body when the scale goes up? What does that mean? So how about we just raise our hands if we have ever struggled with body insecurity? You know, Latasha, she's a speaker, she's a writer, she's a podcaster, and she loves working on women's heart. She's passionate about empowering others to do heart work so that they can overcome, own their own story, and live authentically with the Father. And I love her testimony and the faithfulness of God in her life. And so you're going to get a glimpse of how she was able to overcome dealing with body insecurity, but she also is going to be able to share with you practical ways that you can live in this every single day. In my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, I share in chapter 3 this story about how I had not gone and bought fitness clothes for a long time. And I went to my local sporting goods store and I remember trying on these pants and realizing they didn't fit anymore because I had picked up the size that I was back then. And I had wrestled with this idea that now I have to go into overdrive. Now I have to go and hustle and restrict and work out more in order to overcome the insecurity I was feeling in my own body because the size had went up. I talk about discerning the truth in that chapter of my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, because again, this area of my life, body insecurity, food fear, dieting, diet culture has been huge to me. It's been a huge part of my healing journey. And I can't wait to share with you today Latasha's journey. But also, I would love for you to take a moment and just pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, if you want to even dive deeper into the clinical and the practical and really where I make it biblical. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get to the interview. Latasha, I am really pumped for today because today's topic is overcoming body insecurity. And you've been having some great reels, great topics over on Instagram. Make sure you guys go follow her. But really, we're going to start with the root of body insecurity. I think we often live in the fruit of it, but we don't know where this root comes from. So why don't you just take us through? I know you have a weight loss journey, but we know it's not about the weight, guys. Can you talk us through that journey, but really your root of what you began to understand was happening?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, first of all, Jessica, for having me. And this is a topic definitely that's near and dear to my heart that I've been through. And for those of you who are listening, especially this being towards the beginning of the year, I know it's a topic that's top of mind for everyone. And so for me, it was really all of my life battling with body image, with weight, with being the one who, the kid who hated PE, didn't play sports, was very self-conscious about everything, didn't wear dresses, didn't wear short sleeves. I mean, it was all of it was very, I battled weight for as long as I could remember, actually. And so it wasn't until I was probably at my highest weight, and I went to the doctor. I was just out of high school, had my first daughter. And I was having these massive headaches and was feeling really bad. And I went to the doctor and he said, you know, we're going to have to put you on high blood pressure medication. You know, I was, I think, 21 at the time, 20. Actually, I had both of my daughters. And so we're going to have to put you on this, or you're going to need to lose some weight. Your body hit your family history shows that you have some medical issues there with your parents, et cetera, and their family. And so this is something you need to take very seriously. And, you know, for some people, that's enough of a wake-up call. And they're like, okay, I'm going to get to it and do whatever. For me, it was, okay, I hear you. I don't want to take this medication forever, but what do I do now? I knew I was struggling. I was fully aware that I couldn't handle it. I couldn't control it. It had gotten really out of control. And so, you know, from that point, I tried everything. I mean, if there was a shake, if there was a pill, if there was a place to go and pay money and get shots, if there was something infomercial to buy, some type of special device or gadget or this or that, I bought it. Even though I didn't have the money, I bought it on credit. I was that desperate to try to figure out some type of really quick pill, magic pill, if I can say that, to really get this weight off of me, thinking that at that time that it really was just only about the weight. That was only about the pounds. And if I just lost the weight, then I would feel better. I'd have a better life. I'd be happier about myself. I'd love my body, all of those things. Well, I did find through trial and error, started regulating my eating and started losing the weight and working out. And so I was able to lose between 60 and 70 pounds. But I remember after I lost it, I looked in the mirror and this feeling that I had anticipated for so long that I was just going to feel this extreme joy and happiness. And now I've reached my goal and now I'm going to be happy. And all kinds of confetti was going to come pop out. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror and just saying, I still don't like myself. I don't like the way I looked. I remember still criticizing myself about little bumps here and lumps there. And this still doesn't look right. And then not only that, it was now that I've done all of this, how am I going to sustain? Because we know statistically, the majority of people who lose weight gain it all back or gain more. And so what am I going to do now? And so there at that point, I really had to start looking in the mirror spiritually, mentally, all you know, look and say, how did I even get to this point of where I was? What caused those things? And what help do I need going forward to sustain really a consistent wellness journey and not go up and down and up and down? And so, Jessica, that was hard. I would say, and some people might laugh when I say this, but the losing the weight, want the type of person I am, once I get locked into something, is just wash, rinse, and repeat. Mindlessly, just only eat this, work out like that, lose the weight. Okay, got it. But now the whole mental piece of how do I sustain this mentally, spiritually, looking inside myself and opening up that chest that I had lots and lots and lots of things packed away in over the years, that now I have to open that and I have to deal with that. That was difficult. That was beyond difficult. And so that's where, when you talk about the root of where I had to start looking at, well, how did I get to this place? And then how do I move forward with maintaining what I've done? And so for me, it was looking at, you know, my family life and how my parents spoke about weight and, well, you know, what types of food we ate growing up and society. Things you see on the magazine, things my PE teacher said to me, things I can remember even family members saying to me that I vividly can remember, you know, what I was wearing that day. It was so vivid. And those things stuck to me. And over the years, those were things I collected in a chest, in my heart, that I didn't realize that I did. And anytime that chest would try to come open and I feel God prompted me to deal with it, I would just eat because it would be easier just to eat and hide in that instead of dealing with those things. And so it was several things for me that were the root that I had to kind of pry apart and say, okay, first understand food and nutrients and get the right information about what food is and is to nourish our bodies. Stop using language like you're bad if you eat this or you're better if you eat that. So mentally changing my vocabulary. And then also the mental thoughts that come in my mind that I've adapted from society about you're better if you look this way, if you're thinner, if this, you're more worthy, you're more lovable, all of those things. And then really, you know, looking and having to forgive those who hurt me over the years because of things that were said out of their own ignorance, because they were fed to by society as well. And so it, again, a lot of different tentacles coming out that I had to one by one really look at, face, deal with, give to the Lord, surrender it, ask for forgiveness, and then move to the next thing.
I think you have hit so many nails on the head of just like words, sustain, you know, I was thinking about when you were talking about your journey of weight loss, it was almost this false sense of gratification.
Yes.
Because you got to that point. And I think so many of us, even myself, it was what I did was never enough. If I could lift this amount of weight, I was like, if I could just chest press this and I'd get there, but then it's always more. And I feel like that's the enemy's voice. He always says more. What more can you do? What more can you, you know, not eat? Or how can you get better at eating? And how can you do this workout better or more? Like, it's always that kind of that push. And something that I was thinking when you were talking is we often get so focused outside in. We think if I could change the outside, if I could do all the workouts, if I could do all the food right, if I could get the meal plan correct, then I'll like be kind to myself and patient with myself. But God always works from what? The inside out.
Absolutely.
And I think you really were talking a lot, you know, getting into that of what was your process then after, you know, you shared this journey of this overcoming, you know, the weight loss, first of all, which was a huge accomplishment. But now let's get into that point of where you began to kind of unravel these ideologies, these doctrines that one, that have been spoken over you, that two, you've created yourself, three, that diet culture, right, is probably given you. So how did you begin to unravel that and actually begin to walk in a new direction?
Oh, it was, I'll go probably from the simplest to the more complex or, so for me, it was finding in order to look in the mirror. And I know we people say that a lot, you know, face yourself. And then the question is, well, how do you face yourself and how do you, you know, allow God to do that work in your heart? And for me, it was finding space in my day and spending time with God. I can't stress that enough. And I know for some people, they may say, well, I've heard that a lot. I've tried that a lot where I've spent time with God and it doesn't work. It really does. Because when you have that time with God to sit and you're reading and you're reflecting. And for me, a lot of times I could not express how I felt out loud, but I could write it. Or vice versa. And so I would say those things and it was, what are you unhappy with? You know, what is going on, you know, in your mind? What are the things that are circling around? Why did you struggle so much, Tosh, with celebrating that woman over there that you knew had a beautiful dress on and some gorgeous heels, but you just could not come out of your mouth to say, that's a beautiful dress. Those are gorgeous heels. You couldn't do it. Why couldn't you do that? And so taking just as simple as what's going on that day, why did you fly off the handle and then felt like you needed to go run to Dunkin' Donuts and eat three donuts right after? What was going on there? And so journaling and then quiet time and then a community, having a community around me. At the time when I started my weight loss journey, I'd met my husband, who was a huge help for me. And looking back now, I could not have done it without him and my sister and friends and family members who, and just educating them and having those conversations and saying, this is what's going on. And unless you've actually been there, Jessica, and you've struggled with the weight, kind of like I did all my life, from the outside, people assume, well, just put down that donut. That, I mean, that's the best advice I can give you. Put down the donut, that will solve it. And then you don't have to worry. All your problems will be gone. Well, if it was that easy for those who are struggling with obesity, struggling with just weight and all, if it was just that easy, but just put that donut down, we would not have, like you said, diet culture and all of these things that we're struggling with. And so it was really educating myself, educating others around me that this is what I'm dealing with. I was a food addict. I was addicted to food and it was a thing that was my, I call frenemy. In the middle of the night when the kids were asleep and I was all by myself, I could go and indulge in things and nobody would know except for me and the food. And I wouldn't have to deal with my problems. I could just do that. And so I had to say those things out loud. I had to educate those around me that I had a problem. It was more than just putting down the donut. And then I also had, I did a lot of reading of different books before I could afford therapy because I really could not afford it at first. And then the other part is going to see a counselor. So that's been part of my journey too, is going to a therapist, seeing a counselor. For a long time, I was like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm reading, I got the Bible, I'm praying and all of that. It's good enough. I got a church family. But then finally, you know, it was, I got to go. It was too, I remember my husband saying, you know, you may benefit from speaking to someone. Of course, I didn't receive that very lovingly. I was offended because of all the stigmas that come with going to see a therapist. And I went and saw a therapist, and that really cracked open a lot of things, you know, where I found out I had not forgiven myself. When I had my daughter at 17, I had not really dealt with unhealed hurts and all kinds of things that I just packed away. And so it was almost kind of like she just helped me break open that chest and deal with it. And it even gives me chills now thinking about it, because it was such a difficult process. And if I didn't have her to really be straightforward with me and help me with that, then my go-to was going to be going back to food and going back to those things that comforted me that should not be in my toolbox to help me cope with things.
I am 100% with you on the writing. When you were talking about facing off with yourself, all I could think about was my book. I know it's like shameless plug, but
no plug. I was like,
face off with your feelings, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, you know, you were just talking about writing, and I am such a huge component. Writing changes everything for me. It's yes. I'll write for pages and I'll sit down to read. And I'm like, I'm going to journal first. And every time I journal first, sometimes I can write for 20 to 30 minutes. And I'm like, oh no, Bible time. Okay. I got to open my Bible now, because it helps me process in a healthy way what Absolutely. I'm feeling, because I don't hold back. Nobody's going to read my journal. I don't write like somebody's going to read it. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I think for me, I mean, writing, I love that you said that, because it's so, so true to be able to process in a way with the Lord that doesn't have a filter, really, unless if you put the filter on it, but it's just you and God, and he knows what's going on anyways. And so,
And you have to be honest. Exactly. And you got it. And for me, I didn't make the connection at first that there was something going on in my heart. So it wasn't like I just one day the Lord was like, it's something wrong with your heart. And then I knew, and then I just, you know, someone helped me fix it. It was a process of things. And I think sometimes we're afraid of that process, that journey piece. For me, it was, you know, journaling down, not just how I felt, but also even what I ate that day. And so I started to see a pattern. I got a really cheap 99-cent spiral notebook, and I would write down breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, and tell myself to be very honest about what I ate and then how I felt that day. And when I did that, I started to notice that the days that I wasn't spending as much time with God, and I was avoiding praying and reading the Bible, and I was having just a tough time, were my worst food eating days, where I really struggled with the way I looked, body image, all kinds of things coming to my mind about somebody else, about this, jealousy would try to creep in. And then I also noticed that, whoa, I ate that day, or I took a detour and I went over there and grabbed that in secret and ate it. And so that helped me. And it's not easy, like, it's to face off with your feelings. Oh gosh, it's not, especially if you have, if they've become your longtime companion as far as ruling what you do and how you act and the way you treat people for so long, and you relied on them to guide you for a long time, and the emotional eating piece, it's hard to face off with them, because it's almost like facing off with a longtime companion. And so that definitely, the word process, I can't say it enough. It's a process. It's not anything overnight. I'm still processing things to this day.
Why don't you share with us now the practical things that you do after this? I don't want to say you've maybe fully overcome. Maybe you have, maybe I think as long as we're here on this earth, we're still in that sanctification process. So I think you're probably overcome it. For sure, but you have to keep it in its place, right? You've been set free. Now you're just staying free. And so why don't we just talk about you staying free? What are practical things in your everyday life that you do to stay free from going back to that old way of thinking?
Yeah. Well, one is the Word of God. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. And it is to the point where, you know, I make sure I surround myself with Bible studies, with devotionals, with all kinds of things that's going to point me back to His truth. Because like you said earlier, those lies from the enemy, they will come creeping in. I mean, as soon as I open up my eyes in the morning, before my feet hit the floor, a lie will try to come and smack me in the face. And so little things like I've told myself, before your feet hit the floor, say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Before that thought will even try to, even if you don't feel like it, thank you, God, for this day. I'm breathing, I'm living, setting my mind in a way where I'm not going to allow it to overtake me, but I'm going to have control over it and it controlling my day. And so starting my day, being in the Word of God, listening to music that helps set my atmosphere and where I am in the car, in the house, et cetera, setting that tone every single day. And then really the other thing I'll say too, is we think that only young people, teenagers, and we say this to our kids, watch the company that you keep. And then as adults, we don't think that our company impacts us. And it does, just as much as it did when we were younger. And so making sure I'm not having someone calling me on the phone with all kinds of toxic information and news and gossip and everything else, that's probably going to put me in a mood where I'm probably going to be thinking negatively. And then eventually that path is going to lead me right back into indulgence, right? So I know now that I've been through this for a while, what those paths are. And I've been down some of them since then. I can't say that I've totally, like you said, I've overcame, but the temptation is still there to go back down those paths. And so I do have to battle it. I have to speak out loud to myself sometimes and say, oh no, that thought is not going to stay. It's got to go. And speak the Word of God out loud to myself, and say, I keep scriptures and reminders up on my mirror when I'm brushing my teeth. Again, all practical, simple things, but it will help you to shift your focus and your perspective, and to remind me that in those times when I'm feeling like, whoa, God, I think I'm going back in this direction. Help me to stay focused and do what I need to do. And send those. And then I'll say it even more practical within my kitchen is, if I probably shouldn't be eating it all the time, I don't keep it in my kitchen. So for those of you who want a very practical kitchen tip or food tip, I don't keep it. If I want ice cream, I want those things, I go out and I buy it. I eat it. It's done. It's over. And then we move on. So it's not constantly there. Some people can, they have iron wills. I get it. And they can not eat it and it's okay and have it in there. For me, I know it's still a weakness. So I go and I eat it, I'm done with it. And then I move on. So, and give yourself some grace. Give yourself, you're going to have some days where they're tough. Beating yourself up is not a good motivation tool. I know we think it is, and being hard on ourselves, but it's not.
I think sometimes we want a really big answer, mm-hmm. and you gave all practical things, right? And sometimes I think we're like, okay, Latasha's going to give me these answers that are going to make me, you know, lose weight tomorrow. And I think we just have been so programmed, right, between social media and texting and email to have these instant gratifications at hand right away. But when those gratifications come, they never stay. Mm-mm. And I think that you gave us such practical tips to apply today. Like, you can get off this podcast and you can go and put up reminders. You can get this. I have stickers that you can buy and put them up on your water bottle. I mean, I'm a huge fan of stickers now, where I just have
I love stickers.
Like, what happened? Why did I start liking stickers?
Yeah.
But I mean, just as reminders, I have one in my car. I'll have them. Yeah. I have it on my, you know, I post-it notes. I mean, you can't go wrong with a good post-it note, you know?
Yes.
So I think everything you shared today was just so important in this journey of overcoming body insecurity, is that really it's faith, it's time, and it's patience. Is there anything else that you would like to add before we wrap up here?
And I would say, don't compare. You know, I tell people all the time, they're like, you know what? I haven't moved my feet in several months. I mean, and this person over here, they're flipping tires, and that person over there is lifting all kinds of weights, and this person's running 10 miles a day. I said, I don't care. If you can get out, it helps you mentally, spiritually, emotionally, just moving your feet and getting out in nature and seeing God's beauty. Yeah. If it's only to the stop sign and back, do it. And then maybe tomorrow it's a little further than the stop sign. Before you know it, it's a whole block. So you're not in a race with somebody else. You're not in a competition. Just do what you can and be consistent in that. And know that the Lord will partner with you even in your wellness journey, not just spiritual, but your wellness journey.
Yeah. I just piggyback off of you just to say that no step is too small, because that's really what you're saying. And
yeah.
I know for me, when I work with women as well, it's okay, what can I do spiritually, emotionally, and physically all together? They want the workout plan, the diet plan, the Bible reading plan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is why you're overwhelmed and you want to quit on week two.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go from 0 glasses of water to 12. And then you're frustrated because you're peeing all the time, you know? And so it's just, how can we just go from 0 to 1?
Because
then you're building the habit internally. Yes.
Exactly.
To even remember, and then it becomes intrinsic after that. You don't have to think about it. But when we go from those big numbers, from 0 to everything, that's where we get that overwhelm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so where do you want them to go to find you, to learn more about you, all the things?
Yeah. So my website, LatashaFerguson.com. As far as social media, I love hanging out on Instagram. So I'm there too, but my podcast information, all the things that I'm doing, what you can take advantage of, are all on my website, LatashaFerguson.com.
All the links will be in the show notes below. So don't worry, you guys, go follow her, go check her out. And I'm just so thankful that you were here to share your heart with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jessica. I truly appreciate it.